The Board of Supervisors Special Budget Workshop will come to order Tuesday, April 16th, 2013. If you could all stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time, before we go into a workshop, we'll take a moment of silence for the victims and those people that were injured in yesterday's terrorist strike in Boston. Thank you very much. Terrible incident yesterday. Hopefully we can see those that committed it brought to justice. And with that, we'll start our 2013-2014 budget workshop. And Mr. Eide.
Thank you, sir. The documents that I'm going to be referring to today, I believe, are up on the internet under the on our website under the announcement for this meeting, where the agenda is, and the all the documents, all the budget sheets, and my memo are all there. We were trying to get them up for the last couple of hours. The most important thing, at least for all those who are listening, is that this budget, as it is presented to you, does not contain any layoffs. There are no layoffs, and I do believe we can keep it that way. It also is not quite yet balanced. There's still some work for us to do. I do believe we can get that done without going to the layoffs. The Health Realignment Fund is not going to be discussed today. We are not ready to present that just yet. We will be bringing that back to the board as a whole to discuss at next Tuesday's regular scheduled meeting. So we'll have that as an agenda item there.
Your statement you made about no budgets, no layoffs, and things appear to be somewhat stable now is correct as long as we get the triple flip money or the basic age issue resolved at the state level.
That is correct. This budget in front of you does make some assumptions, and as always, assumptions are subject to sometimes going awry. This does assume a 3% increase in property taxes, which is I've had many conversations with the assessor. While making no guarantees, he believes that's a reasonable assumption. I certainly make no guarantees to the 3%, and he doesn't either, but that's where it looks like it's trending. That is up 1% from where my preliminary budget presentation was a couple of months ago. This budget also does assume the receipt of that triple flip reimbursement for the losses we incurred last year. Beyond that, if you're ready to start going through the departments one by one, you have a schedule in front of you. We are already behind, and first on the list is usually the bad place to be or the good place to be, but in this case, Mike Boitano asked to be first because he's got an appointment this afternoon. So take the Ag Commissioner budget.
Just for everybody's edification, it'd be a lot easier to work this packet if we were seeing department heads in the order of the packet presentation, or the packet presentation was placed in the order of the department heads.
Apparently. It is it's a challenge to figure out how to do that. But the memo goes in the order that the department heads go in. The department heads have their budget numbers next to them, so you can scan by number. There is the non-general funds are broken out in the back of the packet versus the front of the packet, which is all general fund budget. So those numbers there that they are going to be discussing are the memo or the budget numbers that they have to address. I went back and forth on how to present that best, and hope this year is an improvement over last year, and we'll improve again next year.
I beat Chuck up over that the other day too, because I thought it'd be a lot easier if you could go in order, you know.
Well, the problem is that, for example, the sheriff has a number of different budgets, and so then there would be other department heads that stepped in front of him, so he'd sit down and then come back and then sit down and then come back, which didn't really make sense. So I take him out of order so that all the sheriff's budgets can be discussed at one time, or that all of community development can be discussed at one time. So for ease of presentation, that's why we jump
on. I can understand portions, but not it's all over the map. That's all.
Okay. Mike?
I'm here to answer your questions.
Chuck, you had no mention of this department in your summary, though, right?
They're at the bottom of the very first page.
Oh. Questions for our Ag Commissioner?
Revenue increase cost.
There you go.
The source of your increased revenues, Mike? Projected?
Basically, just a little bit more money coming in on federal gas tax reimbursement. They're redoing the formula by which we get those, so we'll pick up a little bit more revenue there. We're also, the Air District moved into the ag side of the building up there, so we're getting rent from the Air District now of about $1,000 a month, a little less than $1,000 a month.
So. Mike, the question came up before at Air District, I think, on the PERS cost. Is the Air District covering their proportionate share of that?
Oh, yes, because they're individual. They're covering all their employees. So, I mean, it's that's the only thing that's combined now is just the office space. We're still running them as two separate departments because Air District, Special District, the Ag and Weights and Measures is in. So they're ran completely different. The common factor is me and space.
But Supervisor Forster, you bring up a point that I've become aware of here too with regards to ACTC, Amador Transit. We've got a lot of these districts that were formed in and of themselves, but our auditor's office still handles all the payroll for those districts. And we, as a county, are also liable for unemployment costs in the event of layoffs because they're still county employees, even though they're working for a separately formed district. And it's something that someday may come to bite us because if they go through a layoff or something, and the county is self-insured, it's incumbent upon the county to foot that bill for unemployment.
If that's where you were going with this, however it was set up, because we are the same way. The auditor does our books and provides that service to us. I don't know whether it's charged back in the 87 cost. I would imagine.
Wasn't it just this board sat as their district? The Board of Supervisors basically sat as the Air District, and as time went on, we invited the cities in.
Very well could be, way before my time.
My recollection of it.
I think the deeper we get into this, CAO Eiley, you might want to make this an ongoing project with your budget staff to see if the counties has a disproportionate share of costs from involvement with these different organizations.
I mean, John's point's a great point. It could come back around to bite us someday.
Yeah, well, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. hadn't got that far, so.
No, it's just something that I kind of stumbled across, right, too, but right. You come to realize that, okay, we're assuming those liabilities for both PERS and unemployment benefits, but it's a separate district that has no other tie to the county other than we're still doing all their payroll for them, so.
Right.
Mike, where are your cost increases coming from? Are they just normal?
The big one was the wildlife services. They went from a cost share program to a basically pay-as-you-go cost to where we were basically paying about 60%. Now we're up to 85, 90%. That's why we only have a specialist here in the county now for 6 months out of the year instead of a full 12 months out of the year. They went to a new accounting system and decided that California needed to revise what they were doing and pay for actual costs.
So this is our trapper?
Federal trapper, yes.
Yeah.
Large animal trapper.
Now that we have to trap and release mountain lions.
Don't get me
started. With non-lethal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get to have bow on them when we get them, too.
Any other questions for Mr. Boitano? Yes, Supervisor.
Mr. Boitano, the adopted ag sales, 48,000. I see they're up from 46,039. And could you just tell us why you increased that a little bit there?
That was ag sales.
Okay. And why the
increase? Is that what you're saying? I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, why the increase a little bit?
Those are...
Did you
what was it, 48,000 we went
yeah.
to?
Did you project a little increase?
Right. There's a lot of our weights and measures fees. So those will fluctuate one way or the other as we get more businesses going and coming.
Yeah, I have a question. Oh, sorry. Continue. Are you done?
I'm done. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Under... Department of Revenues, under miscellaneous, you had, in 11-12, you had $112.50. And then it looks like next year you had $36,000, and this year it's looking like $47,000.
Basically, that's the fees from the Air District to the Ag Department for rent and my services.
Okay.
It's paid to the Ag Department. And
sure.
Then,
and reimbursed, yeah. Sure.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to bring up another item now. Just because it probably goes throughout our discussion today, and that is cell phone costs. I've noticed we got numbers all over the lot in there. Bailiffs have cell phones at $45 a month. The DA's office has a couple at $45 a month, and some more at $75 a month. The CAO's is at $75 a month.
The $75 a month reimbursement or stipend is for data use. If you use email and the phone, if it's a phone only, it's a $45 reimbursement or stipend.
And that's left up to
the department
to decide as to who needs what
who
level.
Needs what.
So okay. Data use would be on the cell phone, like Googling or...
No, well, if you use it for email and voice, pretty much is the differentiation.
Okay. Like I pay for mine.
Yeah, I was just curious as to why there was this spread right. between departments. So.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.
Chuck, we're going to go with the people that are here first.
The sheriff is next. You have a schedule there on your
I'd rather do that, unless you want to talk about ATCA again for an hour.
No, I don't think we had...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
ATCA.
The,
now you got it.
The sheriff, yeah. I'm a little slow today. I've got
sheriff,
a bit
sheriff
of a Klein,
Under Sheriff Wagner, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Have you been getting enough sleep, Jim?
Hey.
Look kind of grouchy.
I didn't ask you. I'm always grouchy.
Okay.
Don't you guys know me well enough here? I'm the angry one. He's a happy one.
All
that's
right.
What makes
good
it a nice contrast.
It's that good guy, bad guy thing going again.
Don't get us confused that way.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Here on behalf of the Emerald County Sheriff's Office, you'll see before you, we actually have eight separate budgets that we administer out of the Sheriff's Office. The first one is 2210. That's the main sheriff's budget for basically operation, patrol, investigation, sheriff services in the admin section of the sheriff's office. We have met the numbers that the CAO had requested of us through some elimination of some vacancies, some extended time on some hiring, bringing some things into line with past averages and projections, cutting some line items out of those numbers. We did decrease the revenue based on the auditor recommendation from some past year averages and some projections in that budget. But we met the goals set for that budget item by the CAO.
And as always, I look at the sheriff's budgets cumulatively, that there are some budgets that are small and can't take cuts, but they've accommodated those and others. So cumulatively, all the sheriff's budgets actually exceeded their goals in terms of reduction in costs. So I do appreciate the effort by the sheriff and his staff, and certainly the concessions that were made by the three units over there, some with DSA and SOA, all helped greatly, and I know we all appreciate those as well.
Thank you, Starley. Appreciate that. Budget 2211 is court bailiffs. This is utilized to fund the contractual services provided by the Sheriff's Court Security Bureau to the Superior Court. Costs associated with this particular budget are reimbursed by the State Administrative Office of the Courts, so those are fully funded and paid for.
You ever see it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. They're not. We have some positions over there that are not.
You ever see a change in that, Sheriff, where the courts are in, still don't appear to be in very good shape? So that they are not hinting or giving any signs that they're going to cut their funding there?
No, not with regards to the court security piece of it. That's negotiated between the sheriff and the presiding judge of the court. And at this point, there's, as far as I know, in our past meeting last week with state sheriffs, we're not anticipating reductions in the court security funding. Go ahead, Jim.
There actually, it's used to be funded by the AOC. It's now direct funded to the county through AB 118. So the funding is set, and it comes straight to the county. And actually, we receive more funding than we spend. So that money, with agreement with the CAO and the auditor, we've been putting that money into a trust. So, you know, we're trying to keep our costs down. We're receiving more money. If we get audited, we can show we only use what we needed, and that money sits there in the event we get cut in the future. We can have some of that money to bridge if that becomes necessary. But AB 118 is what actually funds us now. It used to be AOC.
When did that happen under Sheriff Wagner?
A year and a half ago? I think the beginning of last fiscal year, I think. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Budget number 2212.
Before you jump from that, yes. Martin, you'd mentioned that that a couple of the positions in the bailiffs are, I guess, general fund funded rather than reimbursements from court costs?
Everything, that whole budget is completely reimbursed with the exception of the A87 cost and I think the GSA allocation, if they actually have that in there. And that's not even in there. So the A87 cost is the only thing that's not reimbursable in there.
I just felt surprised.
Okay.
I shook my head. It was about the funding, not the staff.
There were two. There's two full-time positions in that position, and the rest are all extra help.
There are three. There's a sergeant and two deputies full-time.
Two fraudulent.
Okay. Mid-management, yeah.
I had a question on your expenses. There's a heading other earnings. What is that?
Other earnings under expenses? Yeah. Earning or revenue?
No, it would be expenses. Under like the page 1.
2211.
2210.
Oh, 2210. We're talking about 2211. I'm sorry. And what was the line item number on 2210?
It'd be other earnings.
Other earnings.
All the way, that'd be the last, third to last column on the right.
I'm not seeing what you're talking about. Can I approach? Or is that,
sure. Okay. As long as you're not going to handcuff me. Right here.
Ada.
And the salaries?
I know what page you're talking about.
Half page. This is created by the auditor, not by me, so.
He could probably tell you then, off to your right.
Looks like Maria can help you out with that, too.
Oh, yeah. Jim, you have the answer behind you.
Hey, come on.
Come on up to the mic, Maria.
Can't hear you.
Why don't you just slip over and use Jennifer's mic right there? Right there.
Other earnings, this is Maria Henze, budget officer. Other earnings represent the reimbursable costs when an employee takes a in lieu of benefit instead of a health care cost. So there are some employees in the county which will take in lieu of instead of health care costs. There is also a small reimbursable, about $100, for a few employees who choose to enroll in the physical fitness program that we offer. And that's a reimbursable cost that we pay the employee.
So like if somebody has health insurance somewhere else, then they can be claimed to counties and be paid a small amount.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, these are other earnings to the individual employees, not to the department. Then.
Yes, sir. Reimbursable by us.
Thank you.
Budget item or number 2212, our dispatch budget. The Sheriff's Communications Bureau Dispatch Center provides 24/7 law enforcement dispatch for the Sheriff's Office, Iowa PD, Jackson PD, and Sutter Creek PD. It is the public safety answering point for the entire county. We also dispatch American Legion Ambulance and route the incoming fire calls to CAL FIRE Communications in Camino. Our dispatchers are also emergency medical dispatchers and answer all incoming 911 calls, provide pre-arrival medical assistance to those with emergencies. And by contract, the five incorporated cities pay a portion of actual Communications Bureau expenses based upon their population numbers. It's around, 37.64% of that budget comes from the cities for reimbursement for costs associated with their population.
Sheriff, is the ambulance in that 37% or not?
Yep.
Are the ambulance people, are they in that 37%
or not? Do they contribute to the...
Oh, just cities.
Just cities, okay.
They don't receive any post certification for none of them could be extra help on the streets or anything like that. Doesn't show any post certification dollars in your budget.
No, they don't. Their MOU, those members are part of SOA. Dispatchers do fall under the oversight of posts, and there are some certifications they have to get. They have to have a basic dispatcher course and the EMD course. However, there's no financial benefit through their collective bargaining unit for those certifications. They're required for the job.
Thank you.
Budget 2213 is our ACNET, or Narcotics Task Force budget. It is funded through the Anti-Drug Abuse, ADA, and CalMet grant monies. Currently comprised of a sheriff sergeant who serves as the task force supervisor, the sheriff's deputy, one investigator from the DA's office, two city officers, and one CHP officer comprise our narcotics task force for this county. Budget 2310 is our jail budget. Basically funds the jail operations. We have met the projections, the obligations as set forth by the CAO in that budget by decreasing some items, and one of the increases happened with our food supplier, Aramark, who provides all of our food services for our inmates. Their costs went up 2.9%. Increased a couple hundred dollars for an IT, per IT request, but we also decreased some line items based upon past year averages and projections. And there's $1,000 that was also cut out of line 52800.
Mr. Sheriff, I had a constituent ask me about the jail food scenario, and I couldn't answer it, so I'm going to throw it to you.
Yes.
They've made the statement that we drive somebody down or send somebody down to pick up those foodstuffs almost on a daily basis? No,
that's the way it used to be a couple years ago.
Okay.
We had food services being supplied by Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office. We actually had two extra hire personnel that would drive a refrigerated truck down and pick up the food and make those deliveries. When we went to the Aramark contract, we eliminated those two extra help positions and the vehicles used to transport the food. Aramark delivers on-site to us, so there's no transportation involved with the food. They meet all the criteria and standards required by state law for nutrition and those types.
Sounds like they were in possession of dated information.
Does this have the
78,000 year in savings, the undersheriff says, by doing that? So.
Sheriff, does this have the SDF funding built into it, this 269.7?
It would be
a little less than that.
46,781.
40.
And the CAO and I discussed...
91,487.
Yeah, the okay. CAO and I discussed what amount he wanted me to put in there.
We matched. Since the SDF fund total is the same as it was last year, I anticipate the split will be about the same this year. So we included the same award for the jail.
What is the 5242 second line, the aid to public safety? Where does that 2697 come from?
That is Prop 172.
Should be staying same again this year, right, Chuck?
Prop 172 will go up a little bit, a hair.
Slightly up, but it won't, the percentage shift won't change.
Well, it will, when we talked about fire, but yeah, I held fire flat and I increased the others because the total for Prop 172 will go up a little bit, and the sheriff gets the lion's share of that. So, what's that show? $18,000 increase.
Thank you.
Budget 2211 is our jail medical. It's utilized to provide the funding for contractual jail medical services provided by the California Forensic Medical Group to all of our inmates housed in the jail. The contract has an annual cost adjustment based upon the medical CPI for the San Francisco and Oakland region. I believe we estimated it at a 3% increase based upon some trends for the previous 3 years, and that can be adjusted once we get the actual number, but we didn't have those numbers at the time, that CPI number.
Well, no, it's 2311.
Says,
is 2311 is the budget or
2311, correct. 20,
oh, I'm sorry, 2311. I apologize.
2311 is jail medical.
I don't have that sheet in mind.
Not in order.
That's in the back. It's a non-general funded.
There it is.
And the undersheriff just informed me, late-breaking news, Supervisor Plaza as well. the CPI is 3.23%.
It's based upon the Oakland medical CPI, and that is what it is for this next year.
I'm sorry, I don't think I directed that question at you. Oh. CPI was talking.
If the medical CPI we were projecting for the budget purposes of 3%, we did not have the actual medical CPI to calculate in, but we just got that. So okay. That's the actual number is 3.23%.
Was that your question, Supervisor Forster?
On
it was. I didn't ask questions.
Okay.
So we're even.
Bob and you, I didn't ask it.
Budget 2720 is the coroner's budget. It's used to fund the services of the county sheriff in his role as coroner, pursuant to the California Government Code, required by law that the sheriff, in this case, determine the cause and manner of deaths that occur in Amador County. The problem we have here is when we have annually is we don't know how many people are going to die in Amador County each year, so we make some projections with regards to that. There have been some increases and continue to be for contractual costs for mortuary services, forensic medical examinations. Those costs keep going up, so it's kind of a moving target for us as well to determine those factors.
Was the sole salary and wage cost in the coroner's budget is for a sergeant?
That's correct.
Management.
We have one sergeant serves as chief deputy coroner. However, each one of our deputies are deputy coroners as well as deputy sheriffs.
Are you following the CHESBO, new CHESBO bill at all on SRA fees, the way he's structured that language?
I don't think I'm...
Might be a good idea to take a look at it. It's getting rid of the SRA fees and creating a statewide funding system, not only for CAL FIRE, but for military and for...
Office of Emergency Services.
Cost of Emergency Services. So it looks like things like if we have special cases in our county, there might be some reimbursement built in for that. So I'll try to get a number to you.
I think it's 458, AB 458.
CESBRO.
CESBRO, right, yeah.
Right now it's just a gut and a min, but there looks like a possible opportunity there to get some money for emergency operations, possibly in the future.
Thank you.
Thought based on a statewide tax on insurance policies.
Our final budget is $27.50, and that's the Office of Emergency Services. Obviously used to fund our Office of Emergency Services. I serve as the county's Director of Emergency Services as designated by this board via resolution. Primary responsibility for OES is to coordinate the county government response to disasters, other large-scale emergencies. It also coordinates the acquisition of grant funds for the benefit of all county and city governments and manages those grants. This includes the state hazard mitigation grant, which we coordinate, that allows the city governments to acquire funding for OES-related projects that they may have. If they don't participate and get involved in the hazard mitigation grant process, then they cannot qualify for that funding. So we've been working closely with the cities to try to get them on board with that.
Questions?
Just the one person there, too?
Yes, one sergeant.
Silva?
Yeah, John.
Great, John.
All right. OES coordinator also is our search and rescue coordinator.
I think I would echo on behalf of the board your efforts to keep your budget in line and the efforts of your employees to help out the situation, too, with the adjustments to their retirement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it, and we appreciate the efforts of CEO Eiley in dealing with our office, in particular under Sheriff Wagner, who can be a problem sometimes. So he's done a very good job with that.
I get combat pay for that.
I would personally, if I were you, create a film for deputy for your deputy to watch with someone smiling a lot more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Where do you want to go? Probation?
District Attorney.
Stick to the list.
Duck where you want to head to District Attorney.
Hey.
No, I haven't. No, this one. This one.
We are now 25 minutes behind, too. So. Hey.
How are you today?
Dinner, since we didn't get lunch.
I guess I'll go to the meat of it.
Can you pull that mic down a little, please? Not any of us are as tall as the sheriff.
2120.
Budget 2120, which is the district attorney's office. We were asked to meet certain targets regarding cost reductions, adjustments in the budget to meet goals that were set by the CAO. We did that. We accomplished that. We adjusted revenue in some areas subject to decreases, but then an increase in other areas, given what we've been seeing, for instance, in Mill Creek. So overall, we arrived at a balanced budget and met the targets that the CAO had was seeking.
I do agree with that. For the second year in a row, he done an excellent job.
And as your summary states, CAO primarily through delaying the hiring of a new deputy district attorney.
That's one of the things. Also, we had a part-time investigator, specifically our price, that we deleted, and in terms of. His assistants. Also, we had a secretary that had retired that came back part-time, Rosie Beeves, and we deleted that as well. So those are the three ways that we were able to meet the targets that were established by Mr. Eiley.
And one other comment, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Item number 1900, which is our operating transfers, addresses some of the GASB 45 requirements, and I believe contributions to a liability that is largely responsible of the deputy DAs and their retirement health benefits. We funded that fund or trust, if you will, the first year, but as the summary states, the budget does not include any contribution towards the county's OPEB obligation. We've been several years down the road without making additional contributions to that. How are we standing as far as a potential unfunded liability for those future liabilities?
The last actuarial had that unfunded liability of $5 million. But the plan has been restructured since then, and we have not run another actuarial since. And that's one that we can talk about when the auditor comes up, because redoing that actuarial is going to cost us an estimated $20,000, I believe. So that's one of those things where we know it's out there. Times are tight, and I've held off on doing that. To run another actuarial for $20,000 to tell us we have an unfunded liability is kind of...
Well, whether we run another actuarial or not, I don't think if we keep kicking the can down the road and not funding this liability, it's going to bite us when the time comes to start paying out all those retirement health costs. And am I correct in that most of that is DDA's retirement health package?
The auditor could address that better than I could, I think. But I think it's split between the deputy district attorneys and the sheriffs, as I understand. Yeah.
All deputies, all sheriff positions have that retirement health benefit as well?
See, both theirs is with PERS. So that's the largest part. It's deputy DAs, and theirs is almost as large as the deputies, their liability.
So how do you, as our auditor, foresee that liability playing out? When are we going to become financially responsible to fund that liability? And...
Well, let's see. The miscellaneous is theirs is a subsidy where they're part of the rate of how they pay equal to what the current employees they pay the value of the coverage. They're allowed to pay it at the same price as the current employees, but the DAs theirs said they get equal to what the current. The county has to pay equal to the retirees.
Why don't we do this? Yeah. Let me get the facts together, and I'll do a presentation next Tuesday on the status of this, the origin of it, and the consequences of funding it or not funding it.
That's fine. It'd be just good to have. I know Joe and Mr. Ryan and myself sat on the initial committee determining investing of those monies, and I haven't seen any documentation since as to the performance of that investment and how far it's reducing our unfunded liability. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that at a different time.
I have one question too. Mr. Reby, you're no longer in charge of conservator's office, right? Social services now, I believe, is that correct? Or?
Conservators, no, we don't do that anymore.
Okay.
And I think we have that as it's under there as public administrator in 523327. It's a zero.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Todd?
I don't have anything else unless there's any other questions for the board. We do have one other budget, and that's victim witness, which is 2190. And it's a one-person shop. And Harlow Ward does a tremendous job balancing probably one of the heaviest caseloads per victim witness advocate in addition to her responsibilities running that office, probably anybody in the state. And we're just blessed to have her, and we were able to keep that budget balanced as well.
You have extra help, one extra help.
What's that?
You have one extra help in there?
We have some part-time. We have a part-time helper that's coming in, unfunded.
Okay.
This elderly lady, just out of the goodness of her heart, comes in and helps Harla. Mans the phones.
I'd like to just concur with our DA, Todd Reby, in regards to Mrs. Ward's job sitting in court and handling the caseloads that she handles up there in regards to this victim witness. It's a tough job, and it's got to be very hard on her, and she does a great job.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do without her. She's fills a very valuable function in our county, and her responsibilities increase with AB 109, and
she's still taking it all on and still does a tremendous job.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Mark, probation. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Very good.
Good afternoon, Mark.
If we had lunch, we'd be doing a lot better.
You didn't have lunch? Come on now. Really?
Really?
That means that you're in a bad situation.
Yeah, I would have brought something. I'm here representing the probation department. You have the three budgets that my department's responsible for, 2350, 2351, and 2390. And, again, we came in under the CAO's projections as far as those budgets go.
We like that.
Have any questions? I'm here. My best to answer them.
We like it when it's on time and under budget.
Keep up the good work.
We're trying.
Thank you and your staff.
Appreciate the job you're doing heading the Community Corrections Committee and keeping the process working so we don't, our jail's not even more impacted by inmates.
Well, I was just commenting with the undersheriff in the back that I wish we were doing a better job. We're getting there. I think all of our justice partners, the district attorney, the public defender, Health and Human Services, the police departments were all kind of falling in line trying to deal with the jail issue and at the same time make sure that we have the right offenders in those jail beds. Those are the most costly option for corrections, but it's important to pinpoint the right offender to have in custody. I think we're doing all right in that respect.
Yeah. Further questions?
On that community corrections, is that the 2390 budget?
Yes.
Yeah. Wanted to take a look how that is playing out here. It was stated when we were first going over that you felt and the others on your committee that you were actually receiving a little more in those AB 109 subvention monies, for lack of a better word, than you were initially foreseeing having to consume. So you'd be building an account up, a balance up, to be able to draw on, similar to the sheriff's presentation earlier. Has that proven to be the case? Or?
Yes, it has. As AB 109 came online, it was a build-up to getting to the populations and the projections. As an example, our 13-14 total requested budget for that budget is roughly around $570,000, and the allocation for the 13-14 year is at $1.3 million. So we're still way under that number. The idea being that we've kind of created its own, for lack of a better way to put it, task force, similar to what the sheriff does with the drug task force, and continue to roll those monies forward, hoping that the day never comes that we have to use those funds, but if it does come, we have money there to bridge gaps. At this point, my department hasn't filled one of the deputy probation officers that we had projected needing. The need just isn't there yet, and similar to what the sheriff has done with the spots that he has. So we continue to roll that money forward within that budget. It will also help us pay for things that we didn't project. And we set aside some money to buy jail beds at El Dorado County for when our jail is too full. So things like that raise their head, we can deal with. And we can do it fluidly. So to this point, it's going okay.
Good job.
It's good job. It is good job. I guess, it's still uncertain how this animal is all going to come out in the end. So.
Correct.
Yeah, our big concern was the constitutional protection of these monies, as I recall when we were speaking out against the or in favor of certain legislation. So it's good to keep your powder dry and have that flexibility and fluidity.
Very much so. And my partners on the CCP are great. I mean, everybody gets along. I'm sure you have heard some horror stories from other counties as to how things are going, but things are going excellent here. I couldn't be happier with my criminal justice members and partners.
I'd just like to say, Chuck, I know, I guess you didn't receive this email, but the other night, in front of about 150 people, Mr. Benigni, and prior to that, Sheriff Martin Ryan, people were throwing questions at Mr. Benigni about AB 109 and how it's affecting our county, and Mark did not leave one question unanswered, and neither did Sheriff Ryan, so my hat's off to both of them for, you know, under those kind of questionnaires and packed house of public wanting to find out and wanting to get you in regards to what the county is doing, what the county isn't doing on AB 109. Mark Benigni and the sheriff did a great job.
But did they answer how not to close a grocery store?
That wasn't my battle.
Smart man.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, Chuck.
Mr. Lowe, county auditor.
Well, Thunder. Jesus. I'll wear this book out.
Chuck, do you want to address the targeted reduction of 17,977, but the cut made was 2,670?
The auditor's got a pretty tight budget. He did, if you look at this, the Department of Revenue sheet, the net county cost is... there's actually the A87 is not included in the total requested because the auditor is completely encompassed in the A87. So he usually has a negative cost to the county or basically cost of zero. That being the case, still we don't need, he needs to cut along with everyone else. He's about $15,000 away from his target at this point in time.
Not many places to cut there, though.
No. The only thing I did was I replaced an accountant, an accountant two with a financial assistant two, because I lost, when Becky went, I promoted from within, but then I lost the accountant and added and replaced it with a finance assistant two, which I lost 2 years ago. So.
I don't know where else you go for it.
Yeah.
I think...
I'd wonder about also, like in some of your... you have maintenance of equipment. Is there any room in there to cut it all, Joe, or not?
No, that's contract with the system that I have, the Megabyte, and that mainly it's SunGuard Penetration.
And your professional and specialized services?
That's contract I have with for Maximus.
For the single audit and for the A87, correct?
Yeah, the A87 and the SB90, and it's also part. Maximus, but SunGuard Penetration has that too. So for support, we pay for a online support
and maintenance fees.
Yeah,
so really about basic only room you have would be as far as to reach that goal. If you were, would be employee hours or number of employees, yeah, or something along that line.
Yes.
I looked at it. I didn't see any place that stood out as needing to be cut, so I didn't take anything.
Okay.
Away. Have we gone to Penetration yet? Have we gone to Penetration?
Yeah.
For the payroll?
Yeah.
Well, they do the payroll. That is our payroll system.
Okay.
So it's both our accounting and payroll system.
But we're not doing it by hand anymore. That basically does.
Well, it's calc by Penetration. We just input the hours. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, mine was along that. You know, we're looking for other areas to cut, and you don't see room, you know, to cut. But it still seems like we're way behind with regards to how to automate some of those procedures to let the computer handle a lot of the work that we're otherwise...
Yeah, we're not... It's all inputted. We're not calcing it out. What it is the system calcs it out.
But we have to manually input the hours for each and every employee in the county.
Yes.
And we do that once a month.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like there must be a better system than that. I don't know.
Well, it's capable of allowing the departments to input it. But the departments have to have somebody sign off on it and input it and have the employees do it and then have the payroll person in that department input it. And all we do is accept it.
So you think it's a better method of tracking to have one person in the auditor's office handle all that for all the departments?
Well, what it has to be is that HR has to build a profile for each employee for that department to do it. And then it has to be, the department has to have a department head or somebody accept the employee's time cards that they input into the system and then send it to us.
That's something we can look at someday. I think it might be a better system. It could be.
We are working at having a personnel module up to speed by the time next budget rolls around. We had hoped to have it for use in this budget process, but with the new Panamation version coming along, we weren't there yet.
We have to go to their next upgrade, which is 5.0.
I know, Chuck, you weren't a big fan of Pentamation coming from Clay County and so forth. You'd said that you had instances with it. Do we feel that a move to this personnel module will accomplish some efficiencies?
Yeah, as an accounting piece of software, it's fine. As it's when they tried to expand beyond that to become really an enterprise resource system that they went awry. And using them as a permit system was where we really ran into problems.
Yeah, where I'm at is I'd like to see it just as an accounting tool and run as efficiently as possible. And so if we could go to that next step in the module, it might be some efficiencies there.
I think we're working towards that.
Seems like it would help some departments but hurt others. Some of the departments are really stressed on time right now to even have one employee do a little bit extra.
Designate you to handle it for the board.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. Mike? How are you today?
Good afternoon.
Mike's already back up, so I don't have to tell you to raise it up. So,
Treasurer budget 1210, tax collector budget 1230. I don't really have any prepared remarks other than answering any questions you might have.
Any questions?
I think the CAO's comments pretty much summed it up. The two budgets are relatively small and don't have a lot of options on it, but they managed to meet their goals anyway. So,
you
compliments, no comments.
Slowing down after yesterday?
It wasn't yesterday. It was the 10th. There were a few people that thought it was yesterday, and they were unfortunately, sadly mistaken when they came into the office. But
after the 10th, sorry.
Yes.
That little mistake cost them 10%.
10% plus $20, yes.
How do we do on that?
He actually balanced our budget.
About paying that? No.
What's your revenue item? Line item look like now?
We'll stay away from that. Thank you. You notice Mike has a smile on his face.
Yeah, it's quite a bit calmer than it was last week. Thank you for your time.
If only the next person's hearing could be as easy as yours.
I make no guarantees.
Mr. Assessor.
I've been waiting for him.
Seems like we just spent all morning with the assessor's office.
Yeah. Yes, he was in our office at lunchtime.
All right, sir. Assessor is now $86,081 away from his target.
We're working on it. Actually, we were a lot higher than that.
I was asking for two extra positions, funding for mineral rights, having to do with about $120 million of mineral rights. And I've talked to Chuck. He said the budget looks okay with the mineral rights, but not the two positions. Chuck, I understand the dilemma the county's in. But I want to tell you, we have a bit of a problem. That is, we are understaffed. We're not doing as precise a job as we could be doing. And because of that, it's costing the county quite a bit of money. Today you had three appeal hearings. Those three appeal hearings, and you're going to have more, by the way, they were here because they thought their assessment was too high. We've lowered about 4,000 assessments over the past couple, last year, and the year before that, another 4,000 or 5,000. The people whose assessments we do mass by percentages, the ones we lower too much, they don't come in here and complain and appeal. They just quietly go about their business. And that's happening to a certain degree. I don't know how much. If I knew, I'd do something about it. But it would be nice if we had an extra appraiser in there and an extra clerk so that we could be a little more precise on these. And they probably, there's a good chance they'd come close to paying for themselves and bring in extra money, too. But I do understand the dilemma the county's in because part of it's caused by our office and that we've lowered a lot of assessments because we were obligated to do so. But anyway, I was okay with the budget the way Chuck and I talked about it. We have funding for mineral rights and essentially the same, applies the same as the year before. Is that right?
We're leaving the money in for the mineral rights, right?
Yeah, I just removed the extra positions. The and Jim has gotten over the trauma. Apparently the crying has stopped.
Mr. Rooney, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is the percentage of the people that do not contact the assessor's office ever for any assessment in regards to a reduction?
Gosh, I would probably say 90 to 95% are happy with what they have.
They've never contacted the assessor's office.
And maybe higher
office.
Than that, too, yeah.
Because I know I talk to seniors throughout the county, and they tell me that they've never contacted the assessor's office in all the years they've lived here for a lower assessment on their property.
Either we're doing it just right or we're too low.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they've been in the county a long time, they've got pre-1976 values. Yeah, they're not complaining.
You know, ironically, a lot of people, they don't understand that when they ask for a review, we will lower it or we'll leave it the same. We won't raise it.
I would just encourage your office to try and settle as many of those cases before they get to a hearing. Because this morning we argued for 45 minutes about $120.
I know.
And sometimes it's better. We had two employees sitting here. It costs $120 for them to sit there.
And I got to tell you, we don't have very many appeal hearings. We do settle by far the large majority of them outside of this chamber. But, you know, if we don't have some of them, you should be suspicious that we're too low on everything.
Well, yeah, we needed to have the third one. We probably didn't need to have the second one. In a way of this morning's hearing.
That's probably a conversation for another day.
I'm sorry, your 10 minutes are up. So.
Goodbye.
Chuck, I have one question for you. Is will that funding of the position, the consultant position, will that actually bring money back into the county?
Ultimately, will it increase?
It should bring a net increase of money.
I believe that's part of that 3% that we had anticipated. The fact that we're leaving it in isn't going to cause that to change at all. But the 3%, I think it's all wrapped in together.
Okay. So this together is what? I'm not sure what the question was.
Well, he's asking the mineral rights assessment.
Oh.
Will that...
That's Howard Properties assessment. No, that was in previous years. We're defending previous years' assessments.
That's gone on for years and years.
I know it has.
We're defending previous years' assessments. So,
that's not
going to affect this year.
It's not part of the...
And we have other mineral rights assessments that we're going to be taking care of this year, I think. It depends on if and when people start production on things.
As long as I've been around, we've been dealing with Howard Properties on the minerals.
Yeah.
I thought at one point in time we did the stipulation on that, but
yeah.
It's back at it again for next year's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so big, you know. Jim, when you just said if and when they start production, are mineral rights assessments on property predicated on when they begin extracting the mineral?
Yes.
Not just the presence of the mineral.
That's correct.
Okay, we need to move. Thank you, Mr. Rooney. We are at 2:30. We will take a break, but until then, we're going to keep moving. Our clerk recorder's office. Good day.
Good afternoon.
1510.
This is Ms. Grady's first budget as the clerk recorder, so please go gentle on her.
And she should not. She should not take her preceding co-worker there as an example of how to behave.
Yeah. Don't look at him.
Yeah.
So which one you want to do first? We got three.
Well, let's see.
Start in numerical order. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
1510.
Elections.
Any questions, gentlemen?
I didn't have anything.
The these three budgets have Kim and I have gone round and round and round in conversations with this. There were a lot of extra help attributed to elections that she has deleted, and we've replaced that with one full time position. So that's the big change that's shown here. That's what you'll see when you look at that budget.
I think the other thing is a little bit more of my salary went into elections.
Same with mine.
And the same with Kim's.
Every allocation of those, yes.
Our salaries now are split 50-50, surveying elections and hers between.
We are fortunate in Kings County. They're expecting two special elections this year because of the departure, the resignation of a state official. So they're not happy about that at all. All right. Any other questions on elections, surveying, recorder? Is Mr. Johnson going to come back and do extra help work at no cost, as he said? All right. We'll look forward to seeing him.
Give him a call. Yeah, we could call him anytime. He stopped in and checked on us a few times.
Or he misses you, huh?
Yeah. That goes both ways.
Do you have any problem with your new deputy?
But this one? All the time.
Nothing new.
That's okay.
Nothing new.
She gives as good as she gives. So,
yeah. Mr. Eiley, any comments?
No, sir. The between the three budgets, they did meet their target. We did make a few changes. There are going to be some more changes that you'll see before we get the final budget. There was a request that I didn't quite understand what she was asking for that didn't get in here correctly, but it's not a lot of money, so I'll work it in.
When you say the target was met with all this cost shifting from surveying to elections and these different portions of people's salaries that are being paid, did it meet the specific reduction in terms of its impact on the general fund?
Correct. Yes, the cost to the county, which is what I was looking for.
Yeah.
The cost to the county was reduced for these three budgets cumulatively. So one by one might be up a little bit and the other one might be down a little bit. But as we had worked with Mr. Johnson when he was here, these three really, they flow, personnel will move between the different departments well, and it really increases the efficiency and decreases the need to have extra personnel just to work at elections for a month or for a night or whatever it is they are. So it's a good solution and a realistic solution.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very
much.
Thank you,
guys.
Thanks for taking it easy on us.
Thank you, Kim, for your excellent leadership.
We can't be done yet. She's new. Well, new position.
Move on to mental health. Jim? How are we doing?
I have staff here with me, but they don't seem to want to come up. So I guess
not coming
it's just
up.
Me. So the easy part for you gentlemen is this does not affect the general fund. It's all balanced, and MHSA funds are up this year.
These are, the budgets are in the back.
Right.
In the non-general fund section.
Non-general fund section. I'm with you.
Won't affect the general fund. Hopefully it won't affect it next year either.
Now, there is one thing we do not anticipate that we have anticipated in years past is that 10% transfer out of mental health and out of social services into health realignment. So that transfer is not anticipated right now. But legally, realignment funds allow you to transfer 10%.
You expect,
but it does have an impact on our general fund if we're having to backfill public health because of a lack of a transfer from these.
Exactly. It could. Yeah.
Or we need to reduce the public health budget.
Jim, do you expect us to, looking into your crystal ball, what if the governor somehow pulls the card of taking money from counties?
Alignment money. That's one that's a little bit hard to predict because it's coming out of the 91 realignment. And what the governor is saying, you know, I don't know that this is true, but what he's saying is there will be so much increased efficiency that pulling that money back will not negatively affect the counties. And at this point, he's even predicting that there will be some slight cost savings. I personally am somewhat skeptical of that interpretation. CWDA, the Child Welfare Directors Association, is fighting that fight pretty fiercely right now. And it won't affect costs to the state for 3 years anyway. So they're especially fighting it, saying don't start clawing money back that isn't even going to be needed for 3 years in a worst-case scenario. So we're hoping that he's going to, at the very least, hold for 3 years, which will give us time to see what happens and then have more accurate predictions.
You know what I'd like to see? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Good. I would just like to say, you know, in regards to Jim and his great work he's been doing out there, we as a board should try to fight the rent increase that keeps going up and up and up and up, which is going to kill a lot of our departments out there.
You're talking about the HHS lease?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, what is the gentleman going to do if we can't pay it? Take us to court, and then what?
Yeah, that's exactly what it'll do.
Well, and then what?
And then we'll be
forced to pay it. We don't have the money
to
pay it. Yeah, we went to them one time and asked them to take the rent down, and they gave us a flat no. Yeah, and then he came before us in other regards, remember? Well, the answer might be no when we get into the later years of the lease. And he wants to release it to the county.
The answer might be yes, maybe.
And then we'll have a different answer for him.
You know, we've investigated purchasing that building, but the rules of the reimbursement from the state are such that you had a 50-year amortization repayment schedule for it. So our costs that are reimbursed right now would no longer be reimbursed fully. So then that would just create a bigger deficit.
Well, and we've talked about that for years and years and years, and I think maybe it's time we take that to our legislators and maybe get that changed.
I don't think that our facility people or our GSA people would say that would be a good buy if we were to buy that building. I think they would concur that it would not be a good buy. We ought to just get rid of it.
Well,
depends on the price.
I
think we're stuck between a rock and a hard spot.
Let's move on because we won't solve that problem today.
have a question.
I would certainly agree with the board that that building is a challenge.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. 52,300 professional specialized services. An increase of almost 80,000 there.
Yes. Trying to remember exactly what that is.
They'll have to come up if they're going to speak.
Yeah, I told them they should have come up here.
Yeah.
Professional services.
These
can you state your name for the record?
All right, this is I'm Michelle Turner. I'm the finance and administration supervisor. And the money from that line item is used to pay contractors for various programs, prevention for drug and alcohol. It pays for the wellness center, money that we spend with ATCA on various programs, the Promotoris program, and this is a whole lot of contracted services that we do. And there's been some increase recently in those due to increases in the prevention budget for drug and alcohol, and also the MHSA coordinator has actually shifted some funding into that area to support the new wellness center.
All right, Supervisor.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions on that? Thank you. And Social Service.
Jim, did you get my email from this morning regarding the availability of training dollars for behavioral health?
I did. Is, yeah, I forwarded that to Krista, who's looking into it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Karen?
Any questions, Roman? Budget's balanced. That's what happens when you get a budget that's balanced. No questions.
Keep up the good work, Jim.
Thank you.
Karen, wanted to say she's doing wonderful. I really appreciate having her there.
It's a delicate balancing act between bringing in enough of that realignment money to help with the costs up there and yet not allowing those costs to get to where they cost the general fund. It's a neat trick. You've done well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that thanks to Jim and Karen and Michelle and Sherry, too, for putting all of this stuff over at HHS in, I believe, a lot better physical shape than we have been in the past. So I'm a lot more comfortable with what's going on over there now than we have been in the past. So thank you.
Good job.
Good job. All right, on to community development. Susan, are you representing today?
3,000.
We're 5 minutes ahead of schedule.
This is where health realignment was, and I took it out, so this is the gap.
All right, we'll perhaps take a break right now then for until 2:30.